Good morning. It's the John Gibson Morning Digestion for this August 8th, 2019. But you knew it was 2019. I suppose I didn't have to remind you about that. There's a confusing mix of stories today. Obviously, I think you probably guessed that most of it's about Trump going to Dayton and El Paso, and that's true, it is. But I'm going to start with politics. The New York Times running a piece. It's an op-ed piece, so you know it's not like they pass it off as news, but it's an op-ed piece saying the squad is the future of the Democratic Party. And this person who is billed as a historian just goes over the reasons why, you know, the squad represents Democrats and therefore the country better than any other group of four people on the planet. I'm just shaking my head. I don't think that's true, but you know, in a lot of ways, the New York Times has become really just a cheerleading section for the left. I mean, it's as if there's no editorial control, or as if the editors are reading these pieces and going, "Yeah, that's what we want." Well, anyway, Wall Street Journal, Kamala Harris trying to shoot for the middle, somewhere between Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Joe Biden. Okay, good luck. Politico, oh, for Christ's sakes, Hillary's back. This is a piece in which she was interviewed for some kind of retrospective of her work in the Nixon impeachment. And she's given advice to impeachment people that, you know, work quietly, don't grandstand, don't hold news conferences, so forth. It's probably good advice, but it it presumes that there's going to be an impeachment. That was Cisco barking in the background. He'll probably bark again. New York Times, Trump's approval rating is rising, contrary to news media expectations. This is a piece by Nate Cohen, their statistics guy, who finds, you know, for all the talk about Trump can't win the next election, actually, well, he can. Washington Post, this is also in a bunch of other papers. Twitter locks out Mitch McConnell's account because he and his staff posted videos of protesters in his house calling for his death. So Twitter is saying, well, that's content that we don't want. I suppose one's intention ought to count. Mitch McConnell's staff trying to show how loony these people are and how dangerous. And Twitter blocks it. This line, this is in the Washington Post. It's an opinion piece by a guy from something called The Splinter. I was going to look it up and see what The Splinter was, but I forgot. And it's a big, long anti-Trump screed, which is not that unusual for the Washington Post. It's kind of, you know, that's what we do here. But the line that just, you know, jumped out at me was the last line of the piece. If your promise is to make America great again, you can never admit you were one of the reasons it was bad in the first place. Now, ostensibly, this is aimed at Trump, but in fact, it's aimed at any Trump supporter. Now, I got a couple of compliments from friends about saying this yesterday, so I'm going to repeat it. You know, in all of this squawking about Trump and his supporters and what is now getting to be a common refrain that if you support Trump, then you are a racist and a white supremacist. I think that there are millions of honest white people out there who aren't white supremacists and aren't racists, who are quietly seething about this, and that they're going to come out to vote to slap these people down. These people are so engaged in their self-righteousness that they don't understand that this all this stuff is going somewhere, and it's not going to be forgotten. All right, so the next category in the list is called Trump / white supremacists, because lately in the news, they seem to go together. New York Times says he was as divisive as ever when he shot back at Beto and Biden. The weird thing about this is, it's just openly stated in this piece. Yeah, Beto attacked Trump. Biden attacked Trump. Both of them attacked him as a white supremacist and responsible for the El Paso shooting. And apparently he was not supposed to respond. Apparently he was supposed to just take it, let them say things about him and not say anything back. Which is weird to me. It's just weird. Why aren't Beto and Biden being chastised for turning this tragedy into a political opportunity? Instead, of course they will. And of course they should. And Trump shouldn't respond. New York Post, an actual white nationalist was found and outed at the State Department and fired. It's one of the guys who was marching in Charlottesville with a disguise on so he wouldn't be recognized, and he had a position State Department. So he was outed and fired by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Washington Post, Trump opponents take advantage in Dayton and El Paso to declare him unwelcome. I don't understand the Dayton thing. I mean, in a way, I kind of understand El Paso. They take it so personally that he talks about an invasion from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. I don't know why they take it personally. They're, tend not to be those people, but anyway, they do. But in Dayton, I mean, this is a leftist, pro-Antifa, pro-Bernie, pro-Lizzie Warren, crazy, literally crazy shooter. And, for some reason, the Democrat political establishment there in Dayton thought that, we've got to attack Trump over this. I mean, if anything, he's one of theirs. The LA Times joins the chorus that white supremacists equal ISIS. They're a little late to the party on this one, but they tend to be. New York Times, Trump listens to Katie Hopkins, and that makes him a very bad guy. Katie Hopkins was on my radio show several times. I love her. She is fantastic. But the New York Times declares her to be a racist and a white supremacist in Britain, and therefore if Trump likes her, that makes him one too. New York Times says he was not welcome in El Paso. New York Times, Lizzie joins Beto. Trump is a white supremacist. Somebody wrote me a letter and said, why do you call Elizabeth Warren Lizzie? Well, yeah, I guess I'm being snarky. I guess I'm being slightly insulting because it's a diminutive of Elizabeth. New York Times, actually, a domestic terrorism law would just be symbolic. The writer draws a clear distinction between an international terrorism law and a domestic terrorism law. There's a constitution that provides protection for free speech and a right of association, which is not something protecting international terrorists. New York Times, Democrats / liberals NIMBYism, not in my backyard, is a big roadblock to progress. And then at the end of this column, this big liberal columnist, David Leonhardt from the New York Times, announces he's taking off till after Labor Day So, you know, you're not going to see him for, well, what is it? It's like a month. He calls it 2 weeks, but it's a long time. That means others will too. So you might have a weird vacation from outrage for a few weeks here as all these liberals go to Martha's Vineyard and all those places. Washington Post, the NRA warns Trump on background checks. It's an interesting piece because it shows Trump is trying to do something about guns and running into trouble from the NRA and some other Republicans. Migrants, ICE arrests 600 illegals in Mississippi work sites, one of them the Koch brothers. ICE has asked, why now? They've been here for years. Oh, yeah, okay. And there's all these, you know, tearjerker pieces about kids who've been left alone because ICE grabbed their parents. New York Times, climate change leading to food shortages are going to make it way, way worse, says the UN. Well, what will be way, way worse? Migration. That's what. It's going to be places that are can't grow enough food to support the population, and they're going to escape to Europe and America. Okay, now this is really weird. It's in the New York Times. The New York Times profiles Juarez, Mexico, and confirms Trump's characterization that the Juarez, El Paso, dual nation, one city, was a hotbed of violence and murder. It doesn't seem to realize that the rest of the paper is saying Trump was lying about that. Beto says he was lying about that. And I seem to recall, I haven't looked them up, but I seem to recall, you know, in reading the papers to do my radio show and then this podcast, that, yeah, that was the case for a long time. Anyway, Washington Post, Southern California stabbing spree that killed four was a Hispanic man with no apparent motive but anger and hate. I thought they didn't do that. Hashtag Me Too. Les Wexner, who's the owner of the L Brands, which, among other things, is the owner of Victoria's Secret, says Jeffrey Epstein misappropriated, parentheses, stole vast amounts of money. He's trying to pretend like he wasn't close to Epstein. It gave Epstein power of attorney over his personal finances probably for 15 years. He's trying to get a lot of that money back. And he's trying to say that he didn't know anything about Epstein. And the other thing about it is Les Wexner's Victoria's Secret is all about sexualizing women. And now they're trying to, like, back away from that. They kind of fired the guy who, you know, made it all about, you know, hot women in underwear. I don't know how Victoria's Secrets exist if it isn't hot women in underwear, but they're trying that. Tech, Easter eggs in tech stuff. These are little surprises they build in, you know. Why? Because they can. They think airhead stuff like this is cool. For instance, if you were to buy a Tesla, built into the software is occasionally it will start making sounds and flashing lights and flipping the doors up, open and close, open and close, open and close, doing a little dance. They think that's cool. Okay, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, there's a bunch of these, a bunch. They probably belong in other categories, but I had to shove them in here just because, you know, it's that kind of day. Rosanna Arquette apologizes for being born white. I'm so ashamed. Fox News, The Hunt, a movie about hunting down and killing conservatives. They've stopped the advertising for this, but apparently they're not going to delay or cancel its release. New York Times, the Ban the Car movement hits 14th Street in New York City. No more cars there. Businesses are dying, but, you know, we don't care. We want buses and bike lanes. So, you know, good luck with your business. New York Times, Brooklyn shootings up 10%. The DA is letting shooters off with no jail. The cops are frustrated. This is what happens when you stop and frisk. And everybody said, oh, you know, there's going to be more shootings. Well, yeah, there are. Washington Post, hundreds of USDA workers to be fired for not moving to Kansas City. This is happening in the USDA. They're going to move it out. Hey, it's the agency that monitors food safety, and Kansas City is, you know, the home of all these slaughterhouses, and the Midwest is the home of food production. So why shouldn't they be there? The BLM is doing the same thing, moving people to the to the Seattle area. That's Cisco barking out in the background. I'm not going to do anything about it. Sorry. Rosie Ruiz died. Washington Post. She's the one who took a 16-mile subway ride to win the 1980 Boston Marathon in record time and was busted. A guy who fractured kid's skull for not removing hat during national anthem thought he had Trump's permission, says his scummy lawyer. He's actually a veteran who's crazy. This story's in the New York Post. Also in the New York Post on page 6, CNN is going for an all-black panel show. There was an all-black panel on the morning show the other day, and they just laughed and laughed and laughed and told inside black funny jokes, and everybody thought it was so cool. And the two white people, John Berman and Al Camerata, were sitting there not knowing what to make of it, except, oh, yeah, this is fun. So now CNN is going to make it a show. LA Times, go to the Outlands Music Festival in San Francisco and you can buy and use pot legally. The California Cannabis Permission approved and gave a permit for the festival to sell pot to anybody legally and use it. Write to me at host@johngibson.com. Be sure to call the bitch box, please. God, Khalil finally found us. Host@johngibson.com for email. The bitch box is 859-544-2766. 859-544-2766. That is it for the morning digestion. Check out the podcast a little bit later. It is going to be later. It's that really hot time of the year in Texas, and I got to go out and do some work now while it's kind of cool. Because it's going to be over 100 in an hour or so, and then I'll come back in and do the podcast. Okay, thanks.